What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Shit Show with J-Bo. This is your host, J-Bo. I don't have my little blue microphone right now, so I hope it doesn't sound weird. I'm just kind of recording into the speaker that's invisible somewhere on the front of my computer. But it sounds a little pinched probably, but it's pretty good. You know, it's more about the content, I suppose. How are you guys? We are in about, we're about a month in, at least, maybe 5 weeks into the coronavirus pandemic. It's my life hasn't changed too much. I still have a job. I'm an essential employee because I grow medical marijuana. And I'm really thankful for that. I don't have to sweat it. If I didn't have a job, oh man, I don't know what I would do. I would probably be a little more creative. And actually, I would probably get by just fine because I had some money in the bank from when my mother died and some savings on top of that. But I wouldn't be able to play the stock market if I didn't have a job. That's for damn sure. And it's a decent time to be playing the stock market right now. I know you guys, some of you leftists out there are thinking, fuck the stock market, man, capitalist swine and all this shit. But the truth of the matter is, if you live in this country, you pretty much want a healthy economy. Because if you don't have a healthy economy, well, your life just sucks. Money is the lifeblood of everybody here. It's just how it is, folks. What are you guys doing to pass the time? Anybody doing anything really cool out there? I have been doing a lot of music with my buddy Sean. I'm doing this podcast, obviously. I have been tackling some projects around the house, painting some trim and thinking about putting some trim in. I've never done they went to Home Depot today and found out that you can buy the trim and you can cut it right there, and as long as it's at a 45 degree angle in the corners, you're good to go. These are crazy things I had never thought about before. Very obvious, but you know, I'm learning, and it's gonna be cool when I'm done, and I'm gonna realize that it wasn't as hard or it wasn't as complicated as maybe I thought it would be when I first started thinking about it. You guys ever have those thoughts where you think there's a project in your mind and it just seems too big, but you slowly start kind of breaking it off in pieces, like you're chewing a gumball and, you know, or a jawbreaker, and you're breaking little bits off. And at some point you crack down on it and it splits, and you're like, wow, I just, you know, disassemble that idea, figure out what I need to do, how I can do it in the way I'm capable of doing it. And voila, you know, I have a huge hole in my ceiling here where I live at the House of Lights. And man, I kind of want to tackle that project, but that seems crazy to pull a bunch of plaster off the roof, put a piece of drywall up there, screw it in, and get somebody else, I guess, to lay the plaster over top. It's crazy, but I hear you can do it all on YouTube, you know? So anyway, like, enough about my household chores and what I have to do with this place, because there's a lot. But I will tell you guys that I spoke with Dave Kiernan yesterday, Dave, our resident politico, and we talked all about the pandemic. He's mad at China, so am I. I don't know. Have the death counts been exaggerated? They certainly were in the beginning. Is it coming to a close? Did we get over the hump? Are we on the way down? I have no idea. I do have an idea, but I don't know if I'm right. Either way, we're starting to open the country, which is great. People need to work. People need to feel good about themselves. People need to feed their family. And hell yeah, we started opening, I think, yesterday. I think the Jacksonville beaches and some places in Texas. And after that, let me see. I don't know. I got to look at it. But states are just opening up. And Trump is supporting the non-fascist states. And obviously that benefits him in an election year. But that also benefits America, I think. And I guess we're going to see. In the next 3 weeks, we will see if this was a hype job to an extent, or if we had every reason to close down the country like we did. And maybe it should be closed down longer. A lot of people want that. So anyway, here's me and Dave Kiernan's talk. And I want to thank Dave for being on the shit show once again. It was a really good talk. I tried not to do any crosstalk. I tried to let him speak and not interject and not be obnoxious. It's one of my main rules these days. Try not to be obnoxious. So hopefully I'm passing with flying colors. Anyway, this is the shit show with J-Bo. Here's my theme song.
Right on, man. Well, what do you think about this? So it's been a month since we talked last, a solid month, which is crazy. And a lot has changed, but it's been kind of static, kind of stagnant. But, man, the last time we talked, it felt fairly dire. We had no idea what was going on. And it was a little bit of a scary conversation. Now, since then, I believe the numbers, the death numbers have spiked. The cases of coronavirus have kind of peaked. And I believe we're on our way out of this thing. What has changed, Dave, in perception, and what information has come out that would convince you either that it's getting worse or it's getting better?
Yeah, okay. So going back a month, we'll say March 18th, although I think we spoke on March 20th. So I've had to make my own charts because it's kind of hard to – some of the published data is a bit misleading, and that it – you know, the number you'll see is that chart that goes straight up and just shows cumulative cases. So it's just adding them up each day. And so I don't think that's the best way to look at it. So I've got two different charts here. They're both based on new cases, day-over-day change. And on March 20th, the number of new cases in the United States was 5,300, which was a 47% increase over the day before. Now, since then, the percentage change in terms of day over day has declined rather precipitously. It was 47% on March 20th. March 27th, it was down to 29%. April 1st, it was down to 14% day over day. April 12th, it was 5.5%. And now, as of yesterday, the change between April 16th and April 17th was 4.8%. So the percentage change day over day has declined. However, the number of new cases has increased. So essentially you have the percentage is based on a numerator and a denominator. When the denominator gets bigger and the numerator stays static, the percentage will decline. So you have to take in both of those factors. And the other end of that equation is the number of daily new cases, which on March 20th was 5,300, March 27th was 17,800, April 1st, 25,200, April 12th, 28,900, and then yesterday, 31,900. So that number, the number of day-over-day change in new cases, has continued to rise.
With testing. If we tested everybody, the number would be vastly different, and every day we test more and more people. So, yeah.
Yes. But we reached a peak in new cases of 35,100 on April 10th. That was the peak in number of new cases. That declined from April 10th down to April 13th from the 35,000 to 25,000. as of April 17th, we were back up to 31,900. So overall, the curve has flattened, but it has not started to decline. And so we are at a point right now where we don't know if this number of new cases starts to decline, stays flat for a while, mm-hmm. or starts to elevate again. So we're really at a point where we're getting to an inflection point where either the number of new cases every day starts to rise substantially or starts to decline. So there's a lot unknown.
It's very interesting, the new cases, because, you know, in a sense, I don't know, it's not all bad news if there's a ton of new cases, meaning everybody may have it, everybody may be developing the antibodies, and possibly that brings the death toll much, much lower. You know, I think the interesting part is what we really have to pay attention to is who is actually dying, what the percentage is. Obviously, like, new cases aren't a good thing, but, you know, there's a silver lining with the more of those. We've also had total number of confirmed coronavirus cases recovered, let's see, 4,200. I mean, I think we have to – people do recover from this thing, you know, and that's also a figure that doesn't seem to be bandied about as much, you know. So what do you think? I mean, a month ago to now, with the numbers, with the charts you put together, is your outlook – do you feel like it's better than it was 2 weeks ago when you supposedly hit that peak? Or what do you think, and what conclusion are you drawing from this data?
Well, on April 13th, I was much happier than I am right now, because over the last 5 days, we've had increases. It looked like we were rolling over to the downside. Now it's starting to pick back up. You know, I think you're right in that there's a silver lining. You know, more testing. You have to look at the recoveries and the death rate. But new cases is very important, because what we're seeing is the number of new cases in New York, where most of the cases were before, those are starting to decrease. And so I think New York represents about, you know, 2% of the nation's population. What the concern is that new cases stabilize or for an extended period or start to rise because middle America is starting to get more cases. Small towns, mid-sized cities, places like St. Louis or Cincinnati or Tulsa, or, you know, these mid-sized cities that have not really been affected yet, that there are a ton of throughout this country. Jacksonville, Charlotte. We have a lot of places with 1 million people or 500,000 to 1 million people. That's where I think the real danger is that many places get hit hard. So you could have, you know, as many cases, you could have 120,000 cases in New York, but if you split up 120,000 cases between 10 different cities, then that could be a bigger problem than New York was.
Now, there are
dispersed.
There are some outliers as far as cities go. You know, they said that Los Angeles would reach the same numbers. For some reason, it hasn't. You know, obviously, there's a closer proximity to China, you know, where possibly, you know, some of that's coming in on the airplanes and whatnot. And maybe it came in, you know, last year. Do you think – I mean, I've heard the theory that possibly it was a herd immunity that was actually developed there for some reason. And also LA, they aren't living on top of each other. Subways not as used, you know, people, I don't know. Why do you think, if you had to discuss it, the difference between like New York and Los Angeles, or do you think the worst is yet to come for Los Angeles?
Los Angeles has been slowly increasing. And yes, I think it's in part because it's a different transportation mode. People are in their cars alone, as opposed to with 1,000 of their best friends on the subway. But what I think is happening, potentially, hopefully it just goes away, people in Los Angeles still have to go to the grocery store. They still have to be in public. They're still going to meet up with people. So it would just be a slower process. My biggest concern right now is that we are getting into a false sense of security with this thing because New York has started to level off, while other places might just be starting to ramp up. Herd immunity, I don't know. I think it might be too soon for something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's also very uncertain whether there is, with this virus, any real antibodies that will protect you. I mean, you can get the cold, and then you can get the cold again. That may be the case with this.
I wanted to talk about Sweden a little bit, because apparently Sweden has not done a lot of lockdown. And have you been keeping up with their numbers at all? From what I've gathered, that maybe they haven't had the crazy outbreaks. And I don't know. I do believe that social distancing and lockdown to an extent definitely does, you know, flatten the curve. But some countries have not done that, you know. And I know Taiwan was doing fairly well, is doing fairly well, but I think they – really stopped any flow of China very early on, or Chinese people coming into their country. I don't know. Do you see any merit in other ways to approach this? Or do you think lockdown is the only way, Dave?
Boy. I don't know how good lockdown is. And lockdown may just be the thing that delays it and makes it drag on longer. I mean, we talked about flattening the curve, and that was the goal.
Right.
Nobody ever said that social distancing or lockdown would stop it. So the reason to flatten the curve is so that everybody didn't get it at the same time, so that our medical infrastructure was not overwhelmed.
Right.
And people couldn't be cared for and it becomes a health crisis. So I think that may be the only thing that lockdown is good for. But I think lockdown has severe downside as well.
Yes.
And you look at some of this stuff coming out of Britain, and they won't let people be in the sun. And people need to be in the sun to get the vitamin D to strengthen their immunity. So if you're in a dark place, it's that's where viruses want to be, you know? And so a big fan of getting out there, of people not necessarily running up and hugging strangers or, you know, going to large events right now, but I think it's important that people get outside and get as much sunlight as possible.
Yeah, it's certainly
a
time.
And there's psychological issues, and loneliness can make you sad and more subject to pathogens. And, you know, there's a lot of problems with what the approach was. And so I think it's good that we're phasing out of it, but cases are going to increase.
Maybe we all have to get it, you know. I mean, I don't know that you. We can't stay locked down till the vaccine comes, and maybe we have to take a chance because, you know, Sweden. I'm looking here real quick. Total number of new cases spiked April 10th, and it was about 700 new cases. Now, also, so April 16th, it was about 226. So they're doing something. I just wanted to throw that in because I'd mentioned Sweden. Their numbers aren't huge, and they are doing a total lockdown. So,
but just like us, they've started to ramp back up. Yesterday, they were at back up to close to 700.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I read that Thailand had a big boost in their numbers. And China, too. China just came out yesterday or the day before and said, oh, actually, our death count is 50% higher than we admitted earlier. And all
is up with China?
Dude, we'll get to that, but fuck them. but our models, when you look at the model, the curve that everybody's looking at, the estimate of 60,000 deaths that has come down from 100, but that model is based on what happened in China in terms of there being a ramp and then a leveling off to essentially very few new cases every day. So our models are based on essentially China's probable lies. So that's all, I go back to, you know, the charts we were talking about before. We don't know if it's going to level off or decline or spike back up because we don't, we're basing our model on China, and China's a liar.
China is a liar. We are basing our models, at least anecdotally, on other countries that seem to have leveled off, which may or may not be more trustworthy. You know, there are some countries, yeah, forget about China, but there are countries like Italy, which I believe are, you know, the curve is flattened and it's not as bad, and they are up and doing their thing. You know, we can look at it like how Seattle was supposedly really, really going to be bad, and, you know, it was one of the first spikes, and it's kind of flattened out. So there's a lot of anecdotal evidence across the globe to suggest that it is indeed going down and becoming safer to live a normal life. But I hear you. It certainly is an unknown right now. I feel like there have been other pandemics in the world that have come through, and they are a distant memory in the past. That gives me hope. I think the fact that the Trump and his folks seem to be hopeful tells me that they know something, that, you know, that they have a fairly good handle on what will happen, and the chance isn't as big as they let it on, you know. So I'm hopeful, man, but that's me. Like, I'm kind of an optimist, you know.
Yeah, well, I look at Italy's numbers, and, yeah, they're definitely starting to come down. And previous pandemics have run their course. However, they haven't run their course in 2 months.
Right. Like,
the Spanish flu blew up again in May. You know, it had a major resurgence.
Oh, it did?
Yes.
The actual Spanish flu from 1917 or whatever?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm also concerned that this time may be different because this is not a natural virus. This came from a lab.
Right.
And initially came from a bat. And then it was in the Chinese lab, and they fiddled with it. They mutated it. Who knows what properties it holds?
Yes,
that correct. Would not be natural to a virus. Maybe it withstands heat better than it did initially. Maybe it withstands humidity better than it did initially. Maybe it does not allow itself to be subject to its own antibodies. We don't know. And if there are unsymptomatic cases, maybe it's mutated to the point where it just lays there until it activates. We don't know. So I
Correct.
Certainly want to be optimistic, but I think there's also reason to be very concerned and vigilant. However, I don't necessarily believe that lockdown is the best way to be vigilant. I don't know. It does sound contradictory, but we can't run. We can't be afraid. Just I don't know. You know, it's just I just have contradictory feelings of
sure.
It's not going away, but also not running and hiding from it.
I think the best way to kind of deal with this is, and it's obviously not my idea, but, you know, there are people. I mean, as far as I can tell, if you are young and you're healthy, your chances of dying from this, your chances of getting it might be decent. Your chances of dying from it are fairly low, okay? If we let people under a certain age, you know, continue, you know, open their place of business, new occupancy laws in businesses, in nightclubs, in bars, in gyms, I feel like we can live our lives. I feel like the U.S. doesn't risk any more chance of going into a depression. And we can slowly get out of this thing. I think there are incremental ways to do this. And I think the Trump administration has actually talked about that. Did you pay attention to any of the ways he was talking about slowly opening up the country? And what did you think of those?
guidelines. The federal government cannot open the country.
Oh, right, right. It's up to the states, right?
It's up to the states. Constitutionally, yeah. The states have police power. And so the federal government, unless they declare martial law, cannot go around with the army and tell people what to do. The states have police power, so they can shut down restaurants, things like that. So the federal guidelines did state if you're elderly, you should continue to stay home. And then there are sort of these benchmarks and phases where you have to have declining growth in new cases for 14 days to get into phase one. And then there's another 14 days to get into phase two, and there's another 14 days to get into phase three. And each of those phases has more open policies or things like that.
Oh, no, shit. I didn't realize it was in 14-day increments. That's interesting.
I believe so. And just my concern with that is that it's going to be real hard to pull that off. Or what does that math really look like? If you have declining growth for 13 days, and then on the 14th day, you're higher than the 13th day, do you have to start over? You know? So in theory, this could be a framework to have nothing ever open up again.
Right.
Right. You know, so it's a little bit scary in that way, where it's like, I'm not the biggest Fauci fan, and his stated goals have been, not goals, but, you know, his sort of opinion has been that we should be on lockdown for 18 months until a vaccine is developed. And this framework could be a trapdoor to get us to that, where, oh, Montana, you had 6 cases on the 13th day, and on the 14th day, you had 8 cases. You can't open up, you know? So crazy stuff like that. So the math is a bit funky, and I don't think governors are required to follow the guidelines. They are just guidelines.
And then in come the conspiracy theories regarding how long this country should be shut down, what political implications it has, who stands to benefit from it's shutting down for how long, the fact that the death numbers, the death toll numbers, were greatly, incredibly exaggerated thus far. The initial numbers would indicate that, yes, let's shut this country down. Then when they scaled it back 100,000 to 240,000, it's like, that's still a hell of a lot of people. And the experts said with these proper, you know, measures we've taken, it could get down to that number. Now it looks like the projected is 60,000. You know, that could be inflated. That may be under. We don't know at this point. I think America is up to, what are they? Are they about 25,000 now, Dave? Do you know?
37,000.
It is 37,000 in America right now, deaths?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think 60,000 is where it might stop this year, or do you have any idea?
It might, but when, you know, I don't know why. So that model shows by August 4th, 60,000. We may be at 60,000 August 4th, and then we go into the flu season or the virus season next year in the fall, and people have started to come into contact. Maybe we open sporting events and things like that, and then you kind of start over. I don't think that it makes sense to look at it like that, because this is a long-term thing, you know.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess just like this. Yeah, what are they, when they refer to those figures, are they talking about this year, or are they just in general? I mean, because if you went to the end of time, you know, there's many viruses, you know, influenza, it'll kill much more than that over the course of time. But yeah, that's interesting. Like, I wonder what their time frame was. You said August 4th?
Correct.
Okay.
And for the most part, those numbers stop increasing on June 1st or in mid-May. So the models are showing by early May to early June, depending on the state, those numbers will really level off and you'll only have a few cases per day.
That's the idea?
That's the idea. And a week ago, when these new cases were lower than they are now, that was looking more realistic than it is now. I looked at the model this morning and saw that 60,000 number and had expected it to have increased, but it hasn't. But we may, over this week, for the first time, see that model show more than 60,000. Well, we could see it increased. It's been decreasing. Like you said, it was at 100,000, then it was at 68,000, then it was at, 60,000. We might see it pop back up to 65 or 68 again.
Okay, man. So do you see any political shenanigans? Do you think that there is a conspiracy, the deep state conspiracy, to prolong this, to wreck Trump's economy? Let's just be frank here. Like, that is obviously a theory that's happening, that the hype is really just directed at America, and this is a possible, bioweapon release from China. You thought about any of this stuff, Dave?
Well, I watch Morning Joe almost every morning, and that tells you all you need to know. That gives you the anti-Trump playbook first thing in the morning, and the moral indignation they have at the very possibility that we open the country, people will die, is ridiculous. It's clear that the anti-Trump Democrat side, or whatever you want to call it, wants the economy shut down, probably until the next election, until the day Joe Biden is inaugurated. They want the economy shut down.
Yeah, they sure do. And obviously it's become political. I can't say anything. I judge a lot of things by my Facebook account because I've got a lot of friends on the West Coast. Well, acquaintances, let's say. And then I have a lot of people from the old school that are a little more conservative. And the notion of unsubstantiated hope, I mean, people would react very, very strongly to me saying anything that was hopeful. Because I listen to people like Ben Shapiro, Steven Crowder, and they seem to be smart guys. They seem to be talking about how a lot of the death tolls are exaggerated and we're actually coming out of this thing. They seem fairly optimistic. So I would, try to spread that optimism, and it was just met with, how dare you? You're even kind of a murderer, man, for even saying that type of thing,
That's some horseshit, I think, because there is a balance. And that's one thing Morning Joe, the show, not the person, will just totally call anti-moral or, evil is the concept of balancing the deaths and devastation, and depravity and depression that comes from having an economy shut down. There's statistics like for every 1% increase in the unemployment rate, 100,000 people die, whether it be to suicide, starvation, alcoholism, drug use. There is a concrete relationship between economic strength and livelihood. And to say that we have to protect people from this virus at the expense of everybody else, I think is disingenuous, and we probably will have more deaths from this economic decline than we will from this virus when all is said and done.
This country lives with death tolls every fucking day. Obviously this is very communicable. The death rate is very low, and let's keep it away from the elderly for sure. But, if we all sat inside and had the government feed us and give us money, we certainly would be much safer. I don't want to drive because, how many deaths are on the highways, suicide from depression, drug overdoses, the influenza, we live with death tolls, you know. I don't know, understand the massive push to try to destroy the entire economy for the next year and a half. And, you know, they didn't do this in other pandemics during other administrations. I mean, when we've lived, it seems directed at the U.S. It seems directed at the current administration. I just kind of feel like if there was enough, if let's say there was a Democrat in office, let's just say that, the media would not be talking in the same way at all. The perception would be completely fucking different. And that's where it becomes incredibly political. I mean, that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like to me. For 3 years, we've listened to fucking Russia hoaxes, Ukrainian hoaxes, and now the leftist media is trying to tell us this other thing. And certainly there is a death toll, but I feel like it'd be different if there was a, let's say, a Democrat in office. Thoughts, Dave?
I'm wondering if Trump got bullied into this or tricked into this. Who said you have to shut it down? You know, why was that the prescription instead of, hey, be a little bit healthier? Yeah, socially distance. Let's not go to total shutdown. Let's go to some social distancing and fewer people, lower occupancy limits and things like that.
Well, maybe they finally scared him. You know, he finally, like, blinked, you know, and maybe they punked him, you know, and maybe it was the right thing to do. I don't know. Maybe he saw no other choice. Yeah, who gave him that prescription? Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci. Like Mengele. And then when he wanted to open the economy by Easter, that's when Fauci went on the news shows and said it's going to be 100,000 to 240,000 deaths. Yeah. He went on, preempted Trump, got in front of him on the Sunday shows, and so that number was such a kind of shock. If he was such a good fucking doctor, he would have known those models were wrong and wouldn't have come out and said 240,000, and he probably lied and put Trump in the position where he had to extend the shutdown. And I think that was pretty bad. It's pretty obvious to me, and I think Fauci needs to be out on his ass.
Absolutely. You know, and they, the thing is, what they will tell you is that, oh, it's just working. You know, the good little liberal, good little followers, oh, it's working. You know, the shutdown's working, the social distancing, possibly. And that's, you know, that's why we're reducing the numbers drastically. But they took that into consideration. You know, the experts supposedly said, with this, this is what we're looking at. So
correct.
Regardless, it's all very convenient for the current, for the narrative of the globalist, let's say, narrative of the last 3 years. It's all very convenient what's happened. Is it a coincidence? I don't know.
Well, Trump's number one selling point as a presidential candidate was look at the economy. And that's historically, if a president has a good economy, they win re-election.
Yes.
So it's convenient. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it was planned by anybody or
sure,
executed
sure.
by anybody, but it sure is convenient. Especially when you have such a poor candidate on the Democrat side. And the Democrats are essentially running as a unit. They're not running Joe Biden. They're running as the Democrat Party should be president because we have all the intellectual infrastructure, all these guys who ran Obama's administration and are just so bright. And, boy, they, you know, those guys could use another 8 years. That's who's running for president against Trump is this different set of people. It's not Joe Biden. Joe Biden's pretty much just a hindrance to them. All they have to do is, you know, cut out Trump's one of, you know, if he's sitting on a three-legged chair, they cut out one of them, which is the economy, and then they can put in their what's the best word for Joe Biden?
Corpse.
They can have their, yeah, it's like, what's that movie? Something about Bob? No. It's Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, right.
The Democrats have their, well, yeah, it's Weekend at Joe Biden's house.
you know, it's another point. Right. Biden's a fucking joke. He's he can barely form a coherent sentence, much like me sometimes here, but I'm not running for president. And then you look at, you know, it's Trump's fault. I will say Trump stumbled at the beginning, but he made some really good moves, you know, shutting down China, shutting down the European, you know, planes coming in. But the thing is, the World Health Organization and Dr. Fauci were on board. I mean, Nancy Pelosi was like in Chinatown in San Francisco saying, come hug a Chinaman. You know, we need to let them know that we aren't all horrible racists. They did not see the need to shut anything down. So if you look at it like that, it's almost like somebody wanted this thing to really come into America to really do this thing. You know, maybe they just were stupid as shit, and but they didn't take the right measures. You know, like early on, they say it was Trump's fault, but no, the WHO and Fauci were saying the same thing. It wasn't a big deal as late as like mid to late January. So that would make, you know, if they're all conspiracies, you know, if they're all in it together, they're letting this thing in order to destroy this presidency. You know, obviously that's a little bit out there, but it looks that way, you know.
Also, look to China and and what they did in terms of covering it up and giving themselves time to stockpile goods, you know, medical equipment. But also, it's possible that China said, well, we got hit by this disease, and this is going to destroy our economy.
Yeah.
So we have to give it time to spread everywhere.
Absolutely.
So that we're not the ones who get devastated, but we're just one of everybody, so that we all go down at the same time. We all go down with the ship.
That's a possibility. Even that is like paints a slightly rosier picture of China. You know, people like now they're like, oh, it was a bat. Of course, it wasn't a fucking bat. Or maybe it was a bat originally, but, you know, it had nothing to do with the virology lab in Wuhan for sure. But now it's like, no, it was made in there, but it still was from a bat. But it's definitely not a bioweapon. It's like every day we get closer and closer to being like, oh, and then it's like, oh, they released it, but only so they wouldn't suffer, which always just paints them in a slightly better light. I mean, what if it was completely on purpose? You know, that's what we're getting to. Eventually, like, we're getting to that possibility. Like, you're creating – you know, a hybrid virus that will destroy U.S. and world's economies, but you just accidentally released it? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, let's go full hog, you know, whole hog. Maybe it's a straight-up bioweapon, dude.
Okay. Well,
intended to do what it's done.
By my definition, is a bioweapon.
Right.
When you take a virus and you give it function, you make it lighter. You fuck with it to the point where it has gained strength.
Gain of function.
Gain of function.
Yes.
That, in my definition, is a bioweapon. It, as it sits in a petri jar, it is a bioweapon. Now,
the question is, was it purposely unleashed on the West?
That's not the question in my mind.
What's the question?
Because it doesn't matter if it was purposeful. There have been many, many, many cases over time where there have been accidental releases of toxins or gases or toxic materials that have gotten into communities. And those companies have been held liable. Point being, it doesn't – I mean, it matters.
Yeah.
You know, but it's sort of at this point besides the point. We need to find out if it was intentional, but – to me, it's beside the point as to whether they're liable or not, because they are liable because it did escape from their lab. So what they did is they allowed a bioweapon to be unleashed upon the world.
Right. We don't even have to go to the furthest scenario. It's already there. Everything's there.
Intent doesn't necessarily matter.
Right.
They need to be held liable for what they did.
1,000%.
To the tune of trillions and trillions of dollars. Or we might have to just go fuck them up.
Yeah, man. That's a battle, dude. Fuck yeah. Well, this could be World War III, or maybe they started World War III inadvertently or vertently.
It is a historical trend that when economies collapse, that collapse initiates a war of some type. So it would not be irregular for the world economy to collapse due to this virus, and then we have to go fuck them up. or a war comes out of economic collapse, and it might not even be, you know, it might not be for a few years or many years, but, and it might not even be directly attributed to this. But tensions start to rise. When there's global scarcity, tensions rise. And China acts like they're head dick in charge. And I think we might have to show them they're not.
Well, we're about to find out. I mean, how many viruses have come from China, man? I mean, quite a few, yes?
I don't know if they've come out of their labs, but... a virus can come from anywhere. I believe the Spanish flu actually came from the United States.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. At least that's what the documentaries say. I don't know how true that is. But
and then you take the Hong Kong protests that were just cooking. China was, you know, and now they're gone. I was thinking maybe communist China, maybe this is a way that they control their people. You know, through constant fear, through constant social distancing, through constant propaganda. You know, maybe this is something, because I always notice Asian people walking around with fucking masks on. Maybe this has been going on a long time, and they decided to give the rest of the world a taste of how they control.
Again, it does not have to be purposeful that this happened, but it sure does seem like we are experiencing more of a totalitarian government. More of a fear, don't associate with your neighbor. You do not have the freedom of assembly.
Tune into the news. Keep locked on the news at all times.
Yeah. Yeah, listen to the propaganda. It's, yeah, pay attention to the state. There is no family.
Only Zool. There is no Dana. Only Zool. Yeah, man. Wuhan. Wuhan. Scary.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love the freedom fighters that are happening, Dave. I'm going to be honest. The people under the thumb of that horrible Michigan governor, Whitmer, or whatever.
Zool?
Yeah, that's Zool. Yeah. Dana Barrett. I love it, dude. I love the fact that people are congregating. And I heard something interesting with Ben Shapiro. I really love his daily show. And he's a real fucking fire spark or whatever, you know. Anyway, he was talking about, like, we should all protest the lockdowns. You know, do it respectfully, get our masks on, social distance, but nonetheless protest. I think that's a great guideline for people to follow. People need to know that we will not stand. This aggression will not stand, man.
I agree with that to an extent, but you're not going to find me in a fucking mask.
You don't wear masks?
No.
Really? I do. I wear them all the time, man. Well, good for you, you freedom fighter.
That's how I'm going to do it. I'm just, you know, I was in Target yesterday, and almost everybody had a mask on. And I was like, it was just super dystopian. I can't live in that world, you know.
Did you see the footage in New York City where they were walking along some waterfront and there was literally a drone flying overhead telling them to social distance?
Y'all too close, Steph.
That's what it said. For the better of everyone, please stay 6 feet or whatever it was. You know, but it was like, really? And they say that in the grocery stores. And like Susan, Herschel's mom, was telling me that she was in Publix. And they were like, please, for the better of society, stay 6 feet away from your neighbor, you know, or whatever it was. And
well, that's where they get you. You have the right to kill yourself, right? The government really.
Yeah.
But you don't have the right to get other people. You don't have the right to kill other people. So that's where this, you know, the government asserts authority on that societal level where, you know, yeah, you can get sick, you know, lick all the toilet bowls you want to get sick, but you're not allowed, you have to wear the mask so other people don't get sick, or you have to stay 6 feet away. And you know, it's a weird situation where everybody has their individual rights. And it's just the creeping socialism, the creeping communism, and a lot of this, what's going on now, is continuation of trends, but really a acceleration.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. These petty tyrants are really flexing their control, you know, control tendencies.
Big time. Oh, God. It's got to feel good for them.
One of the great takeaways from this past week for me was, what was it? Protesting is a non-essential activity.
Right.
That was just classic. Yeah, you can protest, but no, actually you can't because it's non-essential. Sorry.
Well, in my mind, if people want to protest and you get, 100 people who are make that personal choice to be within, you know, a foot of 100 other people, that's their choice. You know, you should be allowed to do that. Now, the problem would come when you jump out at somebody and get, if you make a move outside of your protest area or whatever, I'm not saying you should have specific protest areas, but, you know, to me, that's the responsible form of protesting, where it's, okay, hey, we're staking out this area. If you come within this area, it's not our fault, but we're not going to extend outside of it. You see what I'm saying, where it's like everybody has the choice. Like, you have the choice to kill yourself, so you should have the choice to get sick. You don't have the choice to get other people sick, but it's your right to get sick.
It's a catch-22. But, you know, smart-thinking people, I mean, I think they're looking at this. I mean, here's the deal. The only reason that I am fully, like, not giving any fucks because I'm in contact with vulnerable people. You know, like my grandmother lives next door. If it was just me, I was in a city. Like that's the only thing that stops me. My grandmother's 90, you know, and I see her from time to time. Other than that, like, I can look at the numbers. I know how healthy I am. I know what my age is. I know my likelihood of dying. Believe me, when I'm on 3 hours sleep driving 2 hours to my work in the middle of the night along country roads like a fucking race car driver, my chances of dying are so much higher than the COVID will ever inflict upon me. I know that I should be able to make that choice, you know, to go out and live life. I think everybody should. But like I said, there's vulnerable people around. And so maybe they need to convalesce. And
But that's part of your decision-making calculus is.
Yeah, right.
I could do this, but I care about people around me, so I won't do this.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's part of our personal choice.
And I've pretty much lived my life. I mean, the only places I can go to are Home Depot and Walmart. I mean, that's it. And I can do takeout and fast food and stuff. But I can't go to the gym. That's it. But, I mean, I'm an essential employee, man. I don't know if you knew that, but I still got a job, man. Still playing the stock market. So I'm doing all right. It's
that's
just I would like to see my stocks rise, as stupid as that is. I don't want to see people die, but I would like to see a healthy economy and not so much doom and gloom and, you know, possible poverty on the horizon, you know.
I agree. Maybe it's for discussion next week.
Okay.
as what is on the horizon economically.
Yeah.
Or in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think we've gone almost an hour on this. Gone by very quickly.
Yeah, man.
We wanted to talk about the economy.
Yeah, and in 2 weeks, you know, every week the things get a little clearer. So in 2 weeks, yeah, absolutely, man. Have a nice convo and see where the economy's at. Okay, we covered a lot of ground here, man. Thanks for coming on, dude.
Sure thing, Jeff. Have a good one.
All right, man. See ya.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, me and Dave going on and on and on about the current state of things. I hope you enjoyed that. Anyway, tune in soon. I'm not sure when, but I am trying to put out another episode very shortly here. probably within the next week. It's a song I wrote, and it's about the virus. It's called Wuhan With Me. When I wrote it, it was called the Wuhan Virus. That changed, whatever. It's a great song. I think it's a little stiff, but it's sweet. Anyway, I'll see you guys next time. Take care. This is The Shit Show with J-Bo, and we shall talk soon. Bye.